You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. Great to be with you this Wednesday afternoon live from our studio here in Johannesburg. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what your thoughts are. Send us an SMS on 34519. You can send us a WhatsApp 062-148-2374 or email oni@chaifm.com. So let's look at a few interesting subjects this afternoon. Firstly, we're going to look at our historical connection to the land of Israel, and that emanates from God's promise to our ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that we, the descendants of our patriarchs and matriarchs, would inherit the land. There's a incident that happened a few thousand years ago, which is recorded by the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about Alexander the Great, Alexander Mokdon. Mokdon is Alexander of Macedonia. Alexander was a person who, at a very young age, was the ruler of an empire that covered most of the globe. Alexander was born in the year 356 before the Common Era, and he was a legendary warrior and tactician. And in a short amount of time, he and his forces conquered large territories of the globe, and he became a legendary figure. During this time, of course, one of the places that he conquered was the land of Israel, Eretz Israel. Israel is very strategically placed, being in the area that connects three continents. It connects Europe, Asia, Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. So Israel is very strategically placed and often was in between empires, in between different territories of great powerful empires, and therefore saw many conquerors coming through the land and crossing its borders, one of them being Alexander the Great. At this time, a delegation went to Alexander and said, a delegation from Africa, says the Gemara, and said to Alexander, the land belongs to us. We should take over possession of the land. These people were Canaanim. They were descendants of Canaan. And they quoted the verse from last week's Parshas Maaseh, which says, "V'esa aretz asher tafel lachem," and the land that will fall to you, "b'nachalaz inheritance, eretz Canaan legvuloseh." It's the land of Canaan, Canaan, and its boundaries. So they said, we are descendants of Canaan, and therefore we should be the ones who inherit the land. The sages sent a very smart individual to represent the Jewish people. His name was Gevir ben Psisa. And Gevir ben Psisa, on the spot, immediately answered and said, if you're going to quote from the Bible, from our Holy Torah, let me also quote a verse from our Holy Torah. It says in Bereshis Tes, Arur Canaan, Eved Avadim Yula Lechav, cursed is Canaan, and he will be a servant to his brothers. And said Gevir ben Psisa that the rule of a servant of an Eved is Masha Kana Eved Kana Rabo, that which the servant owns really belongs to the master. And since Canaan is the servant of his brothers, the Bible says, so therefore that which he owns belongs to his masters. And therefore the land really is ours. Alexander was impressed, and he gave the Canaanim 3 days to come back, this delegation from Africa, 3 days to come back with an answer, and they never reappeared, and so the land was not taken away from the Jewish people. So it's important that we as Jews remember that we have a strong claim to the land, that we have it's the inheritance from our ancestors, and we should be confident and proud about our inheritance that God promised us. It's not only in ancient times that we've had these kind of challenges and discussions, but in more modern times too. When the British took over the mandate after World War I of Palestine, so many Jews began to return to Israel. And there were protests from the Arabs that were in the land of Israel, and they had riots in 1929, they had riots in 1936. After the 1936 riots, the British decided to set up a commission in order to determine who were the correct inheritors of the land, who did the land belong to. It was called the Peel Commission, after Lord Viscount Peel, who was the one who was to head the commission. And he listened to many representatives of the Arab community, many representatives of the Jewish community, and he heard arguments on both sides. The main argument being made by a representative from the Jewish agency, and he made a passionate plea and put together a very formidable case on behalf of the Jewish people, to which Lord Peel was not that impressed. And at the end of his presentation, Peel said to him, "Where were you born?" And he said, "I was born in Płońsk in Poland." So Peel said to him, "That's very strange." He said, "All of the Arab delegates, the Arab representatives, were born here in this land. And all of the Jewish representatives were not born. They were born out of this land. And so if you somebody is somewhere and somebody else has a claim that that land belongs to them, so they've got to bring a proof. They've got to bring a document, or they've got to bring other proof that it belongs to them." And right on the spot, this representative of the Jewish agency saw that there was a Bible on the stand. And he took a hold of the Bible and he paged through until he came to the verse, also a verse that we read on Shabbos in last week's Parsha, Parsha's Masay. The verse reads, "V'horashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba," that you will inherit the land and dwell in it. "Ki lachem nasasi es ha'aretz l'reshes oisa," because to you, the Jewish people, I have given this land to inherit. That's what God's promise to the Jewish people is, that they will inherit the land of Israel, the land that was promised to their forefathers. So this representative of the Jewish agency says to Lord Peel, he says, "This Bible, the Bible that we all abide by, all good Jews, Christians, and Muslims believe in the Old Testament of the Bible, and surely the credibility of this Bible is not any less than a piece of paper issued by a clerk in the deeds office. And it says in the Bible that this land is promised to the Jewish people. It's promised to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we are all the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, we have a very strong claim to the land. It is our eternal inheritance." Lord Peel was impressed, and he heard loud and clear and took note of what this individual said. This individual was a person by the name of David Ben-Gurion. Ben-Gurion later became the head, the first prime minister of the state of Israel. But he was not an observant Jew, but he knew his Tanakh. In fact, Ben-Gurion's father was one of the early members of Chovevei Tzion. Chovevei Tzion was an organization of religious Jews that very strongly believed in the return to Zion, in the encouraged, and did a lot of good work to facilitate Jews going back to live into the land of Israel at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century. So Ben-Gurion was brought up in the home of such a father. His father was a lawyer, but a prominent member of the Chovevei Tzion, and he most probably had an authentic Jewish education. He probably went to Cheder, so he knew his Torah well enough to be able to get to the Pasuk immediately and quote what our claim to the land is, and making a very strong argument, a very strong claim to the land. So as Jews, we have nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be shy of. We've had a connection to the land for more than 3,000 years, and it is our inheritance that God has promised us, that we should take with joy and with confidence and with pride. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sachstein.
We now find ourselves in the 9 days of mourning, the first 9 days of the month of Av, and this period of mourning ends with Tisha B'Av, which begins on Monday night, and that's when the fast begins, when Tisha B'Av starts on Monday evening, Monday night at sunset, which is at 5:30, and the fast continues until Tuesday. The fast comes out, I think, if I'm not mistaken, at 6:07 on Tuesday evening. So this is a time where many calamities have taken place and have been, unfortunately, the plight of the Jewish people over the centuries. And specifically during these 9 days and on Tisha B'Av, we've suffered tremendously in our turbulent history. And therefore, it's a time of introspection. It's a time of thought. It's a time of analyzing where we are and where we're going and what we are supposed to be doing. The Gemara says that any generation in which the temple was not built, it's as if it was destroyed in that generation. And therefore, the root causes of the destruction of both temples must be present in our modern times. Otherwise, we would see the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash of the temple. And the rebuilding of the temple is a process. We need to have a Parah Adumah, a red heifer to appear. We need to be able to, that will happen with Mashiach, when the ultimate Redeemer will present himself, what we call Mashiach, the person who will lead the redemption of all of humankind and the perfection of the world and recognition of God. So when Mashiach comes, he will usher in the era in which there will be a third Beis HaMikdash, a rebuilding of the temple. It should be Bimhera Bi'Ameinu Amen. Speedily in our days, please God. So let's try and analyze what it is that's keeping Mashiach away. What is it that's keeping the temple from being rebuilt? So let's look at what our sages say, what our tradition says about the destruction of both the first and second temple, and how it affects us today. What relevance does it have to all of us today in 2017? The Gemara in Yuma says that the first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple, was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins. The three cardinal sins in Judaism are Gilo Arayis, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zorah. Gilo Arayis means sexual immorality. Shvichas Damim is murder. Avodah Zorah is idol worship. So the Gemara says that in the times of the first temple, all of those activities were present within Jewish society, that people were involved in sexual immorality, people were involved in murder, people were involved in Avodah Zorah and idol worship. And as a result, the Shechinah was pushed away, God's presence was pushed out, and the first temple was destroyed. The Gemara says the second temple was destroyed because of sinas chinam, because of senseless hatred. That caused the destruction of Ba'i Sheni, of second temple. The first temple was destroyed in the year 423 before the Common Era. The second temple was destroyed almost 500 years later in the year 71 of the Common Era. And the Gemara asks, which was worse? Which generation was worse? Whose behavior was worse? Those involved in those three cardinal sins, or those that were guilty of sinas chinam, of senseless hatred? And the Gemara says, Bira Yochiach, which means the building of the temple proves that. In other words, after the destruction of the first temple, the second temple was destroyed. After the destruction of the second temple, we still remain in a state of destruction. So Gemara says that tells us that the sins of the second temple were worse than the sins of the first temple, because the second temple was never rebuilt. It's interesting, you know, we would maybe look at it differently. We would look at it from our point of view as, like, you know, who's holding in a better position? Who's better? Who's worse? You see somebody who seems to do everything right, seems to be a person who's wears the religious clothing and goes to learn and is involved in chesed. Yet that person has sinas chinam. There's a lot of hatred in that heart. So is that person better or worse than the person out there who's involved in sexual immorality and is involved in avodah zorah and shvichas damim? So definitely we would say, you know, the guy who's involved in Torah and chesed, he's far better off. We'd much rather have him as our friend or as our mechutanim than the person involved in the three cardinal sins. But the Gemara says differently. The Gemara says a person whose heart is rotten, who's got hatred for others inside, is really rotten at the core and is a lot worse than the person who is rotten on the outside but not necessarily on the inside. And that's what the Gemara says. Va'inyan, the Gemara continues to explain. Va'inyan harishonim, she nidgalu avoinam, the first, those who were part the society of the first temple, in which their sin was revealed, nidgale kitzam, so therefore the end, the conclusion of their suffering and the exile was revealed as well. Va'atam ki harishonim hayu ma'aseim hatoivim tamunim, the first generations of the destruction of the first temple, their actions, their good actions were hidden, were not seen, and their bad actions, vavonoseim gluim, and their bad actions were revealed. Ki libam hayatov, but inside their hearts were good. Achroinim lehefech, but the later generation, says the Gemara, were worse. Their generations on the outside, they seem to be all good and all kosher, but on the inside they were rotten and they had a hatred in the depths of their hearts. So let's explore a little bit what the great Vilna Gaon says about this Gemara. The Gaon says in Evan Shleimer the following. He says, "Va'amru ha'rishonim shehaya be'em avorazora gilo rais shrichas damim, ele shetaru shetalu bitchoinem ba'akodesh baruch hu." So the early the generation of the destruction of the first temple, even though they were doing bad things, but they still trusted in God. Their heart was filled with a trust for God. Nimsa ki ma'asehem ra ma'od shekulan b'yarog v'al yavor averus chamurus shebetoira v'liban hayatov. So we find, says the Vilna Gaon, that even though their actions were very bad and they were involved in the three cardinal sins, the three most severe sins, that of gilurai shvichas amin avodah zorah, of sexual immorality, of idol worship, and of bloodshed, nonetheless, libam hayatov, their heart was good. Ma'od, shemala sapitachon al kulam kanal, because, says the Vilna Gaon, this quality, what he calls bitachon, bitachon means a trust in God, a trust in Hashem, in the depth of our heart. So that is more important than anything else. And that was something that they had their trust in God. V'achroinim, continues the Gaon, isku b'toira b'gemilas chasadim, the generation of the second temple, they were involved in Torah learning, they were involved in Torah observance, they were involved in doing chesed, in doing kindness. Mipnei ma'acharva, and why was the temple destroyed? Mipnei sinaschinam, because of the senseless hatred that was present in their society. Lamdecha sheshakula sinaschinam. So it teaches us that sinas chinam is worse than anything, is the most terrible thing. Because if a person has sinas chinam, which means a senseless hatred, and no reason to hate, and a person hates, so that is something that is result. Where does that come from? What's the source? What's the root of that? That comes from a lack of bitachon, from a lack of trust in God. And therefore, if a person doesn't have the trust in God, that leads to kina, to jealousy, and to sinna, to hatred for their faith. So how does that work? What does the Vilna Gaon mean? Because our understanding of life in the world is that there's a creator of the universe, and God is in control of this world. Although a person is obligated to put in maximum effort in every part of their life and to do what we call hishtadlus, full hishtadlus. A person can't just sit back and say, you know, well, it's all up to God. God runs the world. A person's got to put in the required amount of effort. But after a person's done that, after a person's put in their 100% effort, because if they don't, they're to blame. They have to put in the effort. After the effort's been put in sufficiently, we say that the results are up to Hashem. That sometimes things will go and things will be, a person will be successful and they will, Hashem will bless them with hatzlacha, with success. And sometimes a person put in the same amount of effort or even more effort, but it doesn't go and they're not so successful. Well, that's Hashem knows what we all need. Hashem understands the journey of the soul of each and every one of us. And Hashem puts us in a situation and gives us that which we need to fulfill our job, to fulfill our mission in this world. And so a person who's got trust in God and understands that realizes that what that guy has next door is what he's meant to have. And what I have is what I am meant to have. And therefore there's no underlying animosity and resentment. And therefore the person can live in harmony with everybody else and enjoy and tolerate the success of others. But when there's no bitachon, says the Vilna Gaon, when a person doesn't have a trust in God, when there's no place for God in the person's life and the person's heart, so that person looks at the neighbor and says, wow, he's got a nicer house than me. He's got a nicer car than me. He's got a nicer wife than me. And the person is filled with resentment and is filled with jealousy, and that leads to hatred. So the source, the root of discord and of machloikas, of a fraction within society and a state of disunity is trust in Hashem. When there's sinas chinam, people are lacking trust in God and are not trusting that God's running the world as it's supposed to be. And people that do not have Sinas Chinam understand that whatever we all supposed to have, so that's the way it's meant to be. That's how God is running this world, and they surrender and let it go to God. So when you see Sinas Chinam, that's a sign, it's a siman that there's not bitachon, that there's no trust in Hashem. And that's what the Vilna Gaon says. So because of this lack of trust in Hashem, that leads to the hatred and to the animosity and resentment within human beings. So that's why Bayis Sheni is destroyed. The second Bayis HaMikdash is destroyed because the Sinas Chinam showed that people were living without bitachon. They didn't have a trust in God, that God is running the world. And the Vilna Gaon speaks even further about this, which I'd like to share with you. He continues to say in Evan Shleimer, in Perek Gimel, in the third chapter, at the beginning of the third chapter, says the Vilna Gaon, "Bitachon v'istapkus hem klalim l'kol hamidos toivos." Bitachon, trust in God, v'istapkus, satisfaction, and appreciation of what you have, hem klalim l'kol hamidos toivos. These are the principles that under which the headings under which all good qualities of a human being fall. V'heim hefech taiva v'chemda. And they the opposite of taiva, of desire for pleasure, desire for power, and chemda, which means coveting. They're the opposite of coveting and of jealousy. V'ikar akolhu habitachon, says the Vilna Gaon, very powerful words. The main thing, the most important ingredient, the foundation of a person's spiritual being is bitachon, is trust in God. Umi shehu mechusa bitachon, if somebody lacks bitachon, ein torasu miskayim b'yadoi. That person's Torah, even though they may be learning Torah, even though they're doing mitzvahs, eno miskayim, it won't endure by that person, it will fall away. Continues the Vilna Gaon in base. Kol ha'averos v'achataim baim mechemda. All of one's transgressions come because of chemda, because of coveting, because of being jealous of others. Kamo she'amro, as it says, lo sachmod, the 10th commandment is do not covet. Kolel kol hadibros v'chol ha'torah. That includes all of the other 10 commandments in the Torah. So sometimes we see, the last of the commandments, don't be jealous, don't covet what somebody else has. We like dismiss it. It's saying, well, it's like an attachment. It's not as important of believing in God and not serving other gods and keeping Shabbos and honoring parents and not committing adultery and not stealing. You know, all those are the important ones. Not coveting, that's a side one. So here the Vilna Gaon saying that's not true. Not coveting is actually the most important of all. And it is shakul keneged kulam, right? It is weighs up on a scale equal to all the other commandments, all the other of 9 commandments. The haistapkus shua hifuch hu yosod shel kol haTorah, and satisfaction with what we have is the foundation of the entire Torah, says the Vilna Gaon. For hu emuna shleima, and that means having complete faith. Shelo lidog dagas machar, that a person understands God is running the world, and a person is not frantic and anxious and besides themselves. What's going to be tomorrow? What does the future hold? Now, obviously, they make responsible decisions in their lives, but they trust that God is flying the plane. It's like if you're in a plane, you know there's a pilot, and you know the pilot knows what he's doing, and therefore you can relax and chill and have a schlof and, you know, be calm on the plane. Likewise, God is flying this world. God is the pilot of the world. And a person with emuna, with faith and with bitachon, with trust in God, can let things go and understand that whatever is meant to be, so it's meant to be. Umi shelibo tov b'midas habitachon, and somebody who has a good heart that's filled with this quality of trust in God, afal pi she'ever averos chamuros, even though that person may be transgressors, serious and very severe transgressions, hu yote tov mi she'mechusa bitachon. That person is better off than another person who does not have any bitachon, trust of God in the depth of their heart. Because the person doesn't have trust in God, the person comes to kina, to hatred, vasina, to kina's jealousy and to hatred of their fellow human being. So the source of our not getting along with others is because we don't trust in God. And when we don't trust in God, we're going to be resentful of what others have and we're going to hate them for it. So the person who doesn't have any bitachon in their heart, they inevitably are going to come to hating others, even though they may learn Torah, even though they may do acts of kindness. Shekol zeh eino ele la'asos lo shem. Because those acts of Torah and that learning of Torah is just for their reputation, just so people will think, oh, you know, this is a righteous guy, this is a holy guy. But really inside, it's rotten. Really inside, there's not a trust in God. There's not a real faith in God. And therefore, they have a hatred in their heart for their fellow human beings. So the Vilna Gaon spells it out to us very clearly, and I think very brilliantly, that the source of all hatred for our fellow is because there's no God in our life, because there's no trust of God in our life. I want to share with you another quote as well, which expresses the same idea in a very powerful way. It's a quote from Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital was the great Talmud, the great student of the Arizal. The Arizal was the great Kabbalist, the master of Kabbalah, who lived in Sfat in the 15th century and really unlocked the secrets of the Zohar to Klal Yisrael. So most of his works we have access to through the writings of his Talmud, Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital writes the following: Hachemda av hatuma. He says, coveting, jealousy, is av hatuma, which means is the source and foundation of everything, any contamination in the world, of anything abominable in the world. Ki me'avia l'sina, because chemda, coveting, brings one to hatred. U'me'avia l'yedei gezel v'ratzicha, and it brings a person to stealing and to even murder. V'hi hasi shel aseres adibros, and this is the peak, it's the height, it's the top of all of the Ten Commandments. Shakula keneged kulam, and it's on a scale, weighs up. If you have on the one side the 10th commandment of Lo Sachmu, do not covet, it's equal on the scale to all the other nine together, says Rav Chaim Vital. Ki hu koifer ba'ashkacha, because a person who is filled with coveting and jealous of others, such a person is denying God's control of the world. Ve'enu ma'amin sha'akol ayadei yisbarach shmo, and such a person does not believe that everything is by the hands of the Creator, by the hands of God. Such a person is denying that. Avla bitachon, but on the other hand, bitachon, trust in God, ein ma'ale kamohu. There's no quality as important and as powerful as that. So this root, the source, the foundation of everything is trusting in God, and that gives us a base from which we can build a relationship with God and build a harmonious relationship with our fellow human being. There's no trust in God, so then we challenge what another has, and it eats us up to see another person's success and another person's joy, and it creates friction between us and our fellow human beings, and of course, we're undermining God's control of the world. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We're talking about thinking at this time, the 9 days leading up to Tisha B'Av, about the causes of the destruction of the first and second temple. And the Gemara tells the second temple was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And we've been discussing, why is that such a terrible thing? Why did it undermine the spiritual level of all of Jewish society, which led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is a siman, is a sign that the Jewish people had lost their spiritual way and had abandoned the values and the covenant with God. So why does hatred for one's fellow display that? Why does it show and prove that that's really the case? Because the Vilna Gaon explains that when one has a trust in God as bitachon, one realizes that everything one has is supposed to be, and everything that the other one has is also supposed to be. And a person then can move on and let it go, surrender to God, and live in harmony with their fellow human being. But when a person has no God in their life and does not have a trust in God, so they look at others, they look at the success of others, and it irks them, it bothers them, it doesn't rest well with them, and they develop a resentment and a jealousy, and they ultimately end up hating their fellow human being. So sinas chinam, hating somebody for no good reason, is an indication that a person doesn't have bitachon, trust in God, that the Vilna Gaon says trust in God is the foundation of all of the good qualities that a person has. And Rav Chaim Vital said that it's the chemda, the opposite of that, coveting, is the av hatuma, is the foundation of everything abominable and everything evil in the world. There's a famous principle from the Ramban, Rav Nachmanides, explains that the toichacha, we have two times, twice the Torah tells us what we call the toichacha, the admonitions. The Torah tells us what will be to the Jewish people if we turn our backs on our covenant with God that we entered into at Mount Sinai. If we keep the covenant, so the Torah in those two places says that we will enjoy safety and prosperity and tranquility. But if we don't keep the covenant and we break our side of the deal, so then we're going to experience suffering and hardship and calamity within the Jewish people. The first time in the Torah that says so is in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Bechukosai. And the second time the Torah tells us this is in Sefer Devarim, which we're starting the Shabbos in Parshas Kisavoy. And the Ramban says that the Toichacha in Vayikra, the first time it appears in Torah, is keneged, corresponds to the destruction of the first temple. And the Toichacha in Devarim, in Kisavoy, is corresponds to the destruction of Bayis Sheni, of the second temple. And if we look at it carefully, much of what I'm sharing with you today, I heard from Rabbi Elephant, Rabbi Yosef Elephant, a rabbi in Mir Yeshiva, and he said that when he was in school, he had a rebbe who was a Holocaust survivor and who was a big Talmud Chacham. And this person showed the boys in his class how all the psukim, all the verses in the second Toicha in Kisavoy, related exactly to what went on in the Holocaust. And he would read a verse and describe how that was referring to a particular atrocity and a particular calamity that took place in the Holocaust, which is quite frightening and harrowing. But anyway, the Ramban says that's the second Toichacha is talking about Bayis Sheni, the second the destruction of the second temple. And at the end of that Toichacha, there's a very frightening verse in the Torah. The Torah, God tells us that all of these happened to the Jewish people, and will happen to the Jewish people. Tachas ashe lo avarti. Hashem Elokecha, b'simcha, b'tuv levav, mirov kol. That all of these things happened because you didn't serve Hashem your God with joy, b'simcha, b'tuv levav, with a complete heart, mirov kol, when you had everything. So when God's watching us closely, and God is looking at how we deal with what He gives us in this world. And if we look at our lives, so we all are blessed with so much abundance in every respect from God. We have a roof over our heads, and we have a car, and we have a family, and we have a body that functions, and we don't have to go into hospital every day and be linked up to a dialysis machine because our kidneys work, and we can see, and we can hear, and we can breathe, and we can eat, and we can digest, and we can expel the waste. And the blessings in our lives are, so it's not a case of seeing half full or half empty. 90%, 99% is full. But yet what do? We focus on the 1% that's empty. No, what I have, it's not good enough. And look what he has, and he's got a better car than me, and a better house than me, and a better job, earns more than me. So God wants us to live with a mindset in which we're appreciative of what we have. And if we don't live with that mindset, and we constantly are looking over our shoulder and comparing to others and resentful, and we covet what others have, so that's tachad asher lo avarez Hashem lekecha b'simcha b'tuv levav b'rov kol. Then we are not serving Hashem with a joy and with an appreciation and with a whole heart from all the abundance that God of blessing that God showers us with. So that's the reason why the temple was destroyed. Was because the Jewish people didn't have that appreciation, and they didn't have the trust in God, and therefore it led to hatred and to resentment and to jealousy, to sinas chinam. And that's the part we all play. We all have a big part to play. One of the most powerful messages that Judaism teaches us is that we are all the foot soldiers. We are all on the front lines. We all have a massive responsibility. And if we are doing our job as individuals, little me, if I'm doing my work and I'm trying to grow and develop and overcome my lower self and surrender to God and remind myself and think constantly that God is the one that runs the world, and what that person has, they meant to have, what I have, I'm meant to have. And we appreciate the tremendous abundance that we are blessed with in our lives. If we live with that consciousness and mindset, so we are contributing very powerfully to rebuilding the world, to bringing God's presence into the world, to building a Beis HaMikdash. So that's what this time is about, is to emphasize why it is that the temples were destroyed, why have they not been rebuilt, and what is my job? What does that teach me? What's my role to play in all of this? When we do so, when we are living with a mindset of a consciousness of a creator and aware that what I have, I'm meant to have, and what the other person has, they meant to have, so then we are able to live in tranquility and harmony, and we are able to live a life of shalom, of completeness and of peace. But when there's no God in our world, and when we're looking over our shoulder all the time and comparing to everybody else, so then we're living in a world of anxiety. We're living in a world of sinas chinam, of senseless hatred for others. We're living in a world of emptiness and frustration. We're living in a world of toichacha, a world of the admonitions. So it's really in our hands how we choose what our attitude is and how we choose to live our lives and whether we create space for God in our world. The Maharal says that there are two different ways to push God out of our lives. The one way is when we overindulgent in physical desires, when we overindulgent in the pursuit of pleasure. And that's represented by Gilui Erayot Shefichas Damim Avodah Zarah, by sexual immorality, by idol worship. There was a very strong drive in the ancient world to worship idols, and by Shefichas Damim. And there's another way also that we push God out of our lives and out of our world, and that is through sinas chinam. And that's when we don't trust in God. And because we don't trust in God, we resent what another has. And we don't realize that that's the way it's meant to be. That's the way that God wants it to be. God is in control. And we push God out of our world. There's no space for God in our hearts because, we resent what others have. And we don't accept that this is the way it's supposed to be. So in order to live in peace and harmony and to live in a way that we see God in this world, we need to have that trust and that faith. And we need to fulfill Tamim Tieh Im Hashem Lokecha. Tamim, we're going to read in Parashat Shoftim soon. Be complete and wholesome with Hashem your God. Don't worry about what's going to be in the future. Don't worry about, everything else. Trust in God. Live in a wholesome way Im Hashem Lokecha, together with Hashem your God. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We've been discussing the tragic destructions of the first and second temples. The first temple in 423 before the Common Era, second temple in 70 of the Common Era, and how the root causes are still prevalent and present in our world. And one of the most important jobs we have as Jews in this world is to fight sinas chinam, is to remove the hatred for others from our heart. And the source of that, the root of that, says the Vilna Gaon, is by trusting in God, by realizing that God knows what he's doing, God is running the world, and that which another has, they're supposed to have, that which I have, I am supposed to have. And this really is contrary to much of Western society and Western thinking, because within the world, the Western world, Western culture, there's a very strong pressure to pursue and to acquire more than I have right now. The whole advertising industry is built around the concept that what you have now is not good enough. I have a car. My car is great. It does everything it needs to do. But it's nothing compared to the latest model. Look what the latest model does. And if you don't have that new model, so you're being left behind. You're a failure. You're not achieving, and you're not successful in this world. And so too with your clothes, if you're not wearing the latest fashions, and your car and everything, your whole life, all of Western society is built around this concept that you have to acquire more, and you have to, and what you have now is not good enough, and you can't be satisfied with what you have. Now, that's the opposite of the mindset of what a Jew should be. The mindset that we are supposed to have, the mindset that the Torah tells us that we all need to be living with, is appreciation for the blessings that God has showered upon us. Appreciate that what I have is wonderful, and I have so much, and I'm blessed with so much, and I have my health, and I have my family, and I have my means of earning a living, my parnasa, and I have a beautiful world to live in. And I woke up this morning and I could breathe and I could see and I have so much. That should be the mindset of a Jew. And God wants us constantly to be thinking about that, to be appreciating what he gives us, to be thankful for the blessings we enjoy. And that's the basis of our relationship with God, is that we appreciate what we receive and we want to live in appreciation, in cognizance of gratitude for what we have, and in giving a little bit back, a tiny little bit back compared to the abundance that we receive. And much of Judaism is built about creating this mindset of appreciation, creating this awareness of God, of learning to say thank you before you eat the food. Thank you, God, for giving us delicious food. And thank you, God, after the eating, that I'm now full and satiated and my body is successfully digesting the food. We even say a brocha after going to the bathroom. Thank you, God, for ensuring that everything works in this incredible machine of my body, that I can, my body extracts that which it needs to give me energy and live, and it gets rid of, it expels that which is waste. What an incredible functioning, what an incredible machine. So the idea, Judaism tries to give us this sense of gratitude and appreciation, and Judaism fights the instinct of being an ingrate and of receiving and not recognizing and taking and not showing appreciation. And so that's the difference between a person who lives with bitachon, who has trust in God, who understands that God gives him or her everything that they are supposed to have, and God gives everybody else everything they're supposed to have. And therefore, we're grateful, very grateful for what we have, and we're so happy for everybody else, and let's move together and fulfill our mission in this world. So the beginning, says the Vilna Gaon, is that trust in God and living with the sense of appreciation and the sense of gratitude. And if we begin to do that, if we're able to do that, and that's the job of all of us, if we're able to learn to do that, and the Torah and the mitzvahs are a framework which facilitates the ability to do so. The Torah and the mitzvahs, the blessings we say, the davening three times a day, Shabbos Kodesh, we keep Shabbos, where everything goes quiet, and we get off the treadmill, and we switch off the phone and computer, and we have a chance to integrate what exists in our world. And we enjoy the delicious food, and we enjoy the company of our family, and we recognize that we have a creator, and begin to try and see that creator. So all of Judaism is built around a framework that gives us the ability to live with the sense of awe and gratitude, and the sense of trust that there's a force higher than us that's controlling the world and that ensures that everybody has what they need and what they're supposed to have, and everybody goes through what they're supposed to have. So when you live with that understanding and that mindset, so then we can easily live in harmony with others and enjoy the success of others and be there for the sad times for each other, and we can build a harmonious society and build a relationship with God. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should all be able to learn from the mistakes of the past and begin to rectify them in our own lives and our own personalities. And we should merit to see a removal of all sinas chinam from all of Klal Yisrael and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash with the coming of Mashiach, b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.